All right, big man. Welcome to episode 11 of the Dave Portnoy Show with Eddie and Company, presented by Taser. Did you see your family this Thanksgiving, and did you remind them that they need to arm themselves, okay? Then make sure you pick up a Taser Strike Light or a Taser Plus. Dave, tell them about the Taser Strike Light.
Well, again, and these guys are huge fans of the Dave Portnoy Show. They specifically reached out. So anybody who does that is like, hey, we want to jump in and sponsor you. I'm a fan of it. It's a rechargeable, high-intensity flashlight, repels attackers. It's a crazy world, obviously. Taser Pulse Plus is perfect for home defense for elderly parents like myself, who would, my dad would never have a gun, but he's helpless, so he needs something like this. To go get your Taser device today, go to taser.com, promo code Barstool for 15% off. That's taser.com. Use promo code Barstool, 15% off. Please note, limited number of states require permit for use. I like that, Eddie. Like, if you mix in a permit here or there, that means you got a real deal defense weapon. Cannot be purchased in Hawaii, Connecticut. Like that is all. Do not say this without saying device or weapon after it.
No, big news, Dave. It can be purchased in Connecticut now.
Oh, it can't. No, it cannot.
My copy said Michelangelo. Did we print off the right one? Mine says it can be. It
cannot be purchased in Hawaii.
Yeah, it cannot be purchased
in Hawaii or Connecticut. Cannot.
I don't know. I guess if you're Connecticut, go figure it out. Mine says it cannot be purchased in Hawaii or Rhode Island. You can now buy one in Connecticut. Regardless, you can never be too careful defending yourself these days, especially if you sports as perfectly fitting jeans, a snack haircut, and toasted cookie tan. Dave, I think they're talking about you. So go check out Taser. And make sure you tell them Barstool sent you. Also, we want to talk about the Slice app, Dave. Slice is the official pizza delivery partner of One Bite.
Yeah, and these guys are great partners. Again, they're the pizza for the pizza people. Like all the other delivery options that you have that do deliver pizza, they take a much bigger cut from the pizza place. Pizzas are small ticket items. You're not buying like $100. So it really hurts the local pizzerias. That's why they all use Slice. You go to the One Bite app, you can actually order directly from it, find the best pizza. So get involved, Slice. They've come on in a big, big way. Download the Slice delivery app. Use code Dave for $3 off your first order. You should have it on your app, on your phone. I have it. It's on the One Bite app. Have them both. So again, Slice, we know them very well.
Download it, Dave, $3 off. Like Dave said, Dave, big Black Friday, big Black Friday. I guess walk me through your day. At what point did the frustration start? If you follow Dave, you follow Barstool on Twitter. I assume you do if you're listening to the show. It was quite the crazy day.
Well, so Black Friday is always I don't know why we keep getting those glitches. I hold you responsible, Michelangelo, and I expect you to be in here till fucking you're 100 years old and doing tests till you can figure out how to stop in future episodes these glitches in my ears. Because I just did BFF's pod. See, did you hear it again? Am I the one who hears it?
No.
So we do it every show. So are we just going to keep pretending it doesn't happen? And then when the show is done, we forget about till next time when I sit down and have the glitches in my ears. We'll get through it this show, but it keeps coming back every time we do it. So something has to be fixed. I don't know if it's a computer. I don't know what it is. Anyways, I'm glad that happened because it is like being at a cockfight when you take a little stuffed animal and you start punching the rooster in the face to get his lather up before he gets in the fight. And you're asking me about Black Friday, Eddie, and we got Michelangelo who can't get the glitch out of my ears. So he's working me into a lather to get into this segment. So thank you, Michelangelo. Clearly well played. For the fourth week in a row, we have the same exact tech issues. So, and this should be a surprise to nobody. Black Friday is huge for us, always is. I sent out that email. Did you read it, Eddie? What the email that I sent out, which was essentially, I don't have it in front of me. You may, but it essentially was like, listen, I'm very proud that Barstool has not had any layoffs during this pandemic, Corona. Look at every other media company, ESPN, Fox, you name it, they're having layoffs left and right. The Athletic, because it's hard to get ad dollars, because not because we're not producing for advertisers, but advertisers close, they're cutting budgets, this, that. We haven't laid off anybody. We fought tooth and nail. There it is again. We fought tooth and nail to keep everybody employed. And merch is a big reason we can do that, because we picked up merch and we're coming up with creative ways. So I sent an email saying, hey, Black Friday is coming. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, really important for the company. You know, this is what lets us not employ, lay people off and keep doing what we do. So I thought I sent a fair, nice email reminder. So Black Friday rolls around. I'm up till midnight. I send the email. All right, we can promote it. And I'm pushing stuff and Black Friday. And we're doing well with sales. And then Paul Golzinski, stool sales guy, he's like, hey, he's helping me with BFF Pod because we remember when I came in here steaming about the creative process. He took it upon himself, put a team together, way better. Way better. So till Michelangelo started fucking with the ones and twos here, I was in a good mood. And there it is again. Do people at home hear that every time? Just me.
So I don't hear it, just to be clear. I don't hear it. So it's something in your studio right there.
Got it. Okay. So Paul comes over and we're talking about BFFs. And he's like, oh, I put together an email for you. You want to see how many tweets like and promo on Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be for basically every employee. I'm like, yeah, okay. So then he gave me the list, and I called Erica. I'm like, have you mentioned any of these people that haven't done anything yet? Because I noticed one had come out. By the way, I am playing like absolute hero ball because, Eddie, if you could hear what's going on in my headset right now, it's virtually impossible to think. A couple that stuck out, and I had already thrown a feeler out on YP, to be honest, before, because I got a list of all the products that were being sold. There's almost nothing new from Barstool Outdoors. And so I'm like, how does Barstool, because I think it's a cool logo, it sells. So my antenna was up a little bit, but then I get the list. Nothing, basically, from YP. No promo, nothing. Large was another one that stuck. Didn't tweet once, like nothing. And, you know, Carabas did very little. There was a lot of people who just did nothing. And it infuriated me clearly because this is like, I could almost understand it back in the day when like all merch sales went to my pocket. And, you know, then I kept a lot of it, but I, you know, give some to the guys. But it was a small team. I don't get a fucking red cent, all right? I don't get a red cent of what's being sold now. It goes to, I don't get any of it, but I'm out there promoting it hard, getting, you know, my message out there, putting on my Instagram stories. And these people, like YP, who hasn't been in the office for fucking a year, God knows what he's doing. He always has something up his sleeve what he's doing. I know he got engaged. He's on a honeymoon probably for fucking on our dime for a year. He's filmed, what, 10 episodes or something? I've filmed 10 episodes a day of different shit. And you don't have the wherewithal to help promote. Again, it's everybody. This, I made it crystal clear. It was very important for us and to keep everybody employed and have it like gives us a little breathing room. It's from Erica to me. And it's just to not do it. How is it that the people are promoting it the most? Like, are the people who really would be impacted the least? Like Dan, me, like KFC's all over it. That to me, it's insanity. So it really did drive me fucking bananas. And YP obviously texted me like, oh, this fucking made up thing. Fuck you. I wrote back in that text like, fuck you. And Large jumped on it after. But it just to me shows chips down. These people don't give a fuck. They live in a fantasy land. And maybe they don't care that much about their job. Honestly, that's what it felt like. And I put out the thing. We're looking for a new head of Barstool Outdoors. I'm serious about that. Like YP didn't build the socials of Barstool Outdoors. We did. We put people on. YP does dick. Like he really does not do much. So I could, and we have so many applicants for that, more qualified than he is, more established than he is. It's just like, what world? And I'm being very honest and transparent, but it's infuriating. I like YP like as a human, but if you're not going to show an ounce of respect for your job and in a way me, then get the fuck out of here. That's how I felt about it.
First sales guy, 700 people reached out about the Barstool Outdoors position.
Yeah. And like some like blue checkmark people with hundreds of thousands of followers who have like established credibility in the area. Just to totally ignore the most obvious merch day, I do not get it on any level. It's not even about, Eddie, selling merch. Meaning, like, I don't care if you try. If you try with me, I generally accept that. Like, a try guy works. Like, if you fucking do your best and come up with ideas or show effort or initiative and it doesn't work, you'll never be on the wrong side of the law with me. You really won't. But to just do nothing And to do nothing combined with the fact you already, I've already reached out a couple times. Be like, what are you doing right now, YP? No communication, no nothing. He is somebody, and again, I'm harping on him, but there's multiple people I felt that way with. But he is somebody who I feel like has gotten so comfortable and just really infuriated. I kicked him out of Team Portland. He's no longer in it.
Legit done.
Done.
Did he respond after you said fuck you to him?
Nope. He started promoting on like social media, but honestly, at that point, it was too late. You better like what do you do? You got yelled at in fucking school. It is much more of a mindset like that. I will never be able to understand to miss that Black Friday. If you weren't up at midnight when your shit went on sale or talking, I think there were two blogs, me and Clem, on it. Like, how am I do what? People just want to like ride my back. Like Alex Cooper fucking murdered it. Like murdered it. People take shit for granted and it drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, you said in your email too that, you know, everybody's done a great job across the board of being scrappy and not having to make, you know, layoffs during COVID. So I guess that's relating to, you know, kind of when the lockdowns happened, a lot of people hopped on, you know, a bunch of different shows and shit to keep pumping out content. So this was kind of like the last wave, and you say before the second lockdown, that seems like it's about to come and is coming in a lot of respects. So, it makes sense.
I couldn't have been clearer. It really couldn't have been clearer. I think Erica sent some emails. I sent an email. We're not asking you to fucking work wonders. We're asking you to support a major, major sales day when, and by the way, like after I ripped into people's assholes and it started this viral thing, like, if you looked at our chart in Shopify, shout out Shopify, S-H-O-P, it went back up. Like, millions of dollars were made. Like, if I just sat there and sat on my hands and didn't freak out and didn't turn anything, we would have sold, I would say, 2 to 3, maybe more, millions of dollars of merch less. Like, effort counts. It's crazy. And I said a tweet at the end, which is true. Like, you know what has let Barstool be Barstool and gotten to this point over 2 decades? Merch. Because it's always willing to be like, oh, this advertiser wants us to change. Don't do that. Oh, we can let them go because we do these merch sales and our fans support us. So it's a crucial, and it always has been, an important part of what we do. This shouldn't have snuck up on anybody. We've done huge extravaganzas for as long as I can remember on Black Friday and now Cyber Monday. So to just ignore it totally in the times we're in is as disrespectful a thing that you can do to me and this company, really, period.
Because I know there are people that think, oh, like Dave was waiting for this. This was like a kind of another ploy to kind of drum up more sales. No, you were actually mad.
Yeah, oh no, there was no ploy to it. It worked out, like in that respect, and it's funny how that happens, but there was absolutely zero forethought of that. I was steaming. That's what I just said. I found it extremely disrespectful, arrogant, cocky, comfortable. You name it, that's how I viewed it.
Was there an element to people like didn't know how much to tweet, or it's like, hey, Eddie, they you did see nothing. What I do, I retweet.
They did nothing. Like YP did nothing. Large did nothing. Like nothing. Zero. So there's not how much did they do. They did zero.
Yeah, because I know we got to text. I talk to other people. They were sending out texts. Everyone said, hey, beef it up. So it wasn't, you know, we did a lot. There was more than nothing, but there was communication the day of to keep it going. So,
yeah, I mean, again, it's a big thing. And it's one of those days where you can do that. Like, it's expected to do that. It's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. That is, like, when people aren't going to really get mad at you for promoting shit. And, like, my own personal Instagram, I'm doing stories and shit. I don't do that very often. I have, like, on my main Instagram feed, which, you know, is big, I just did a pizza review all with merch, talking about merch. Like, I don't get it. What, do people think I'm doing that for fun? Why did I, like, I yelled at my own team, actually. I don't know if Michelangelo is on that. Because, you know what I did? So Black Friday's Friday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I went out and did 1 million pizza reviews. You know why? Because I hadn't done anything wearing my merch and getting it out, and I needed a video for it. I didn't want to do that. I'm not jamming it down people's throats, but, like, I'm worth a lot of money, and I've made it. I am going to be successful and happy no matter what. I did that because that's what you do when you have a company. It's like, all right, I'm not making a cent off anything I sold on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. None. I don't get a cent. So I'm doing it. I didn't want to drive around Wednesday with a guy I just met, Austin, who's weird as fuck, doing like pizza reviews and shit. You think that's how I want to spend it? I'm out there till like 7 p.m. I actually had a date. We're going to dinner, and it was like I could barely eat because I ate 700 pizzas. I'm doing merch and fucking getting the photos. And I yelled at my team because they didn't tell me to do it either. I was like, is anyone going to like set up this fucking review for Black Friday? Like, Black Friday is coming. Again, it should never stuck up. So it's a lesson and something that maybe it's the entrepreneurial spirit and these people are just different. It's like they don't view it, but they should, because that, I think, is what makes this company different. It's why we didn't have layoffs. It's why we're successful. I truly want people to feel like kind of a team thing, but it's always the case. It's the people who should be like, who should be worried the most, who do the least. It's insane.
Where do you and YP go from here? Like, so is this going to be an extra guy, or like, can he do anything to get in your good graces? Or are you kind of, because you've been kind of onto him for the whole year.
He's on the ropes. YP is on the ropes. He's on the ropes, and I got to go through. I'm dead serious. I'm going to go look, because I know we can do a lot more with outdoors. It's a great category. Merch, by the way, should be fucking huge, because there's all sorts of like hunting and whatever. So, and he's just doing it the least amount possible. Oh, he goes, films his shows. I don't care, YP. You can fucking scream till you're blue in the face. Like, two seasons of something takes you fucking a year, and he's said different things. Fine. That, if that's the case and that's what you're going to stick with, you can't not have merch. Like, it's so easy to keep me off your back.
And you said Cooper's back must hurt because fucking how much shit Caller Daddy sells. Is there anything like, do you have like a stat or anything that's how much you sold? Or I think people are interested in that whole kind of side.
I mean, she's a monster. Cooper's an absolute monster. I want to say the top like 8 items were maybe hers, Black Friday to Cyber Monday. So like Caller Daddy, huge. Foreplay, huge. The One Bite category, huge. PMT's flakes were big. And, you know, and look at it this way. Donnie, Chef Donnie, that book he did, killed it. Like, what the fuck? Chef Donnie's, like, just fighting for attention and airtime. And you know who I'm now going to, which I've never before, like, Chef Donnie earns a ton of fucking credibility from me because he comes up with his own concept, promotes it, sells a ton of it. And then you got this fucking lazy ass YP. And again, lazy ass, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You don't care. You only care about yourself. And we got enough fucking eye guys. And even Cooper, clearly an eye guy. But you can be an eye guy when you're hitting 90 home runs a year and batting 420. I've said that from beginning. And, like, we have all the people here who are like, oh, Cooper. Nate, I always, not that he's the one, but that always jumps in my head. Like, Cooper's helping everybody here more than people. And, by the way, who knows what'll that be, because her contract's up and she'll, as I've said from the beginning, she'll be negotiating from a place of power. But it's like, yeah. And she, by the way, was promoting the fuck out of it. The fuck out of her merchandise. If you looked at her stories, promoting the fuck out of her merchandise.
And then it kind of seemed like you're in a little better mood on Cyber Monday, but you were still upset a couple people didn't show up. How did you feel about the whole
like Carabas is doing nothing, and he wants me like, and then he's like, hey, do you have time to talk? No, not really, Jared. I don't really have time for you. Like, I'm not going to give time. I'm too busy. I've already gone over with Carabas, like the merch and the parade stuff. He did very little. Even Kirk, who you know Kirk will never. I saw Kirk be like, no, Dave's right. Like, we get to do whatever the fuck we want to do here. We should probably promote on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Like, it's a no-brainer thing. It's just a no-brainer thing. So it, you know, it bothers me, and I'll get over it. But there's no amount of like apologies that can make up for the facts that you don't care.
What'd you think of the escape room?
I mean, it's always hard to come up with ideas. That was not set up great, but I didn't care. Like, we had a very, probably because of the pandemic, like, we shattered our Black Friday, Cyber Monday numbers, shattered them. So again, a lot of it's not, did we make enough money? And because we shattered every goal we set. But it's much more the effort thing. And Dave Blattman, who I always fucking roast, but he's perfectionist and works hard and an effort guy like I bust balls, he should almost, if he's listening to this segment, when I start like ripping you a little bit publicly with the exception of Welker, like that's good. I feel comfortable. The cameras were set up very strangely. It was a weird thing, but it got the job done.
Speaking of Welker, I saw he was on Token CEO. I feel like we might have a little rivalry there.
Erica apologized because I said that Gaz suggested it. I was like, that seems like somebody – that's on you for sleeping at the switch, I guess. That should have been a Black Friday guest.
On me?
Yeah, well, you get the guess, right?
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I requested Welker to come on Dog Walk back in August before we were even doing this show, and he declined. He said he talked to Erica, and they agreed it's in the best interest to keep him behind the scenes.
And then he goes on that?
Yeah, I don't. I think I could have come.
How the hell is Welker behind the scenes?
I don't know. I asked him. I was like, "Hey, I think
no sense." That makes
sense. I was surprised too. I asked him. I said, "Hey,
is that why you didn't ask him?"
Yeah, because I was like, "Okay, if you and Erica had a conversation, I'm going to respect that. You turned down Dog Walk. Obviously, this show's different than Dog Walk, but regardless, I reached out. He said, "Me and Erica talked. We think it's best behind the scenes." So. Of course, I would have loved to have him on. You versus Welker is a fucking great feud. I think it'd be a great interview with Welker, and Stoolies would want to hear you guys. So, but I was declined at the door. So,
see if he picks up.
I think he's got Corona.
Hey,
question for you.
Yep.
Why did you refuse to go on Eddie's Dog Walk and say that? Like, you think it's better to be behind the scenes, and then you went on, like, Token CEO.
That was before you did anything with him. I just didn't want to be on, I don't know, you told me not to ever go on anything. And then
I said that?
You said to me once, like, don't be content. Be behind the camera, not on the camera.
When did I say that?
6 years ago? 7 years ago?
That sounds pretty made up. So, all right. So if I said that, what changed? You went on Erica's show.
I mean, Erica asked.
So if Erica asked, yes. So you overrule me. So you answered her, not me, after all these years.
No, I said to
her. Well, you just said I said no, and but then you went on hers, which is clearly not behind the scenes. It's fine. I'm just getting the pecking order. Well, you just, but Welker, you just said, I said no, and then, which I don't recall, but then I'm like, well, why'd you go on Erica's? Like, well, Erica asked.
I said, Eddie, what's up, man? Hope you're well. I spoke with Erica, and I think it makes sense for me to lay low. I appreciate the invite.
So that has nothing to do with me.
This was August 25th.
But you, I said, why did you say no to Eddie? You said, I said to say no 6 years ago. And you just read an email that said you and Erica decided. So was it me or Erica?
Well, you told me not to go on camera.
So then why didn't you reply to Eddie? Dave said no. You said Erica and I decided no. And then you went on Erica on camera.
Well,
and you said you report to me.
I do report to you.
Then what?
Anything at all that you would want me to do, I would do for you.
But you just said, I said, don't go on camera. Then you went on camera. But so you disobeyed, even though I don't remember saying it, theoretically.
I mean, yeah, in theory, yes, I disobeyed. I apologize.
And then for the reason for no for Eddie, you're saying it's me. But when you gave the reason, it had nothing to do with me. It was you and Erica.
Fair. I believe at the time I called Erica and I said, hey, should I do this or should I not do this?
So you do report to Erica, not me. Because that's content. That's clearly content. Like, you know, I'm content, right?
I report to you. I would,
but you don't, because when Eddie asked, you called Erica.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That made no sense, right?
No, it didn't. I know.
I've dealt with this idiot for 2 decades now, and that's it. Never gets easier.
What?
Never gets easier.
A lot of
easier.
People want it. What's it? Well, there's some classic stories that some people want to tell because, you know, you're on so many platforms. What's the Christmas story?
So we missed years ago getting people their stuff by Christmas. And I think it was Welker's first time that he had a kid or something. And I called him up and told him he ruined Christmas. He was like sitting. I was dead serious too. I'll call him back. Hold on. I'll ask him that story. I forget how he tells it, but yeah, Welker is also like a huge woe is me guy. He loves to tell you all the shit that is going wrong in his life, but it's like, I don't want to hear that. We have to get people their merch. I don't care that you have the sniffles or you got to coach a men's soccer game or like whatever it may be. And this year he's quarantined with Corona. Welker.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I forget. What is the – Eddie just asked me. You're on the Dave Portnoy Show. What is the Christmas story?
The Christmas story? So – this, I think it was 2018. That's when all the inventory fucked up. And you asked me to stay up for like three straight days and contact everyone and credit them back their 20%. I didn't sleep for like 3 days, but we were still behind on orders because we didn't have the product and I was scrambling and everyone was bitching at you. And you called me on Christmas morning or you texted me on Christmas morning. It was my kid's first Christmas, Mason and Levi. And you said, you've ruined my Christmas. Now I'm going to ruin yours. Fuck you or something to that degree. You copied Erica and I on it and said, then you proceeded to send me every single tweet of every person who was pissed off. And it did ruin my Christmas. And I felt terrible for all the people that didn't get their shit. I still feel terrible about it. It was awful. It was not a good Christmas.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, people in the shipping, it's people ask. Somebody literally just sent me, like, and I was going to respond to it because I didn't think the price was right, but I can send it. I can send you it, Michelangelo. It's a guy. This is the $59 hoodie, which I can't believe the It's Only Money sweatshirts cost that much, but maybe it does. This is the $59 hoodie I received yesterday. Look how crooked the lettering is. And now they're sold out, so I'm stuck with this. At least they refunded the money. Nice move. But fair warning to anybody ordering from Barstool this holiday season. And I just gives it right back. Welker. Like, if you're any fan of Barstool, you want the Welker experience. Like, that's what being a stoolie is all about. You're going to get fucked up merch. You're going to get six of something totally different. What was the Renee story? Oh, we had a shirt that had seven on it. What was it for? Or six. It must have been six for the Patriots Super Bowl. So it was a six shirt. It was like, hey, Welker, send Renee this six shirt. And he just sent six of them. Like, he's... You know, he's caught, like, to be a stoolie is to get your merch fucked up. I'll send this to you, Michelangelo, right now. But this guy, sure, he got it for free. Should be happy. He got the Welker experience. That's a big thing.
How did you meet Welker?
So I used to do all the shipping myself, right? And we needed people. We got too big. And Welker was very familiar with the brand. And he actually, Dan brought this up, Big Cat, the other day. Chris Christie wore, like, a vest that said, like, Governor Chris Christie, and he sent me one that said, like, Dave Alprez. I wore it, and Welker sold me a bill of goods. Everything he said his company could do, they could not. They've learned with us, so everything was a debacle, and I do like Mike. I think he's a genuinely nice person. The fact he's still with us, and he's just one of those guys who he's probably top two, maybe probably one most talked about. We got to fire Welker. Like, I mean, come on. We can't run this company. We got to get rid of this guy. Like, it's been said so many times to the point. It's like, you know, we'll have nobody to blame next Christmas when no one gets their stuff. It's like we say it every – it's almost like this tech issue. It's like once you're through it, you forget about it. But he's with us for like a nice guy. I've told this story too. We went to Vegas. I hosted him. Like, he was supposed to host me. He took me to Vegas to go to like a trade show to look at clothes, put us up in – the worst hotel. It fucking smelled. And I'm like, all right, I'm not staying here, Welker. So I got new rooms. He's like, well, my company won't pay. It turns out Welker was paying for it out of his own pocket, which is insane. So I got Welker a hotel room. I'm taking him out to clubs. I hosted the host. Like, he didn't spend a dime. He had the time of his life. And I remember I was running around to meetings. I'm like, Mike, do me this one favor. Here's like, I forget what it was, $1,000, because there's a huge line at the sports book for, I don't know, NFL Sunday. I'm like, go place like $1,000 in the past. They're like, okay, I can do that for you. Goes, waits in line. The man placed a bet for himself and forgot to place my bet. That's Mike Welker. He means well, but he's really, he's got rocks upstairs at times, but he means well. And that Christmas story, like, I feel bad when people buy shit. We're trying to make it right, and everyone goes after me, and you just go after Welker. I used to always blast. It's like, not me. I'm mad, too. Like, let's ruin this dude's Christmas.
He sold you a bill of goods. He's got some Hank in him. You know, that's
big time.
Hank did the same thing.
He kept saying, we work with Chiquita Bananas. Chiquita Bananas. You see those bananas? We produce millions of Chiquita Bananas shirts, which they do, but they're all, like, pre-made. Like, Chiquita Bananas is not like, oh, my God, somebody hit a home run. We need a home run shirt. We need it fast. They had no clue how to do that. But they did know how to service Chiquita Banana.
I mean, you've been dealing with longer than I have. He's always been like fucking Johnny on the spot, like right order. So I don't know.
Ask Frankie. If you ask Frankie, because Frankie would be my boy. There's something about me. He fucks up everything I do. Everything I touch, everything I do, he fucks it up.
So is he grandfathered in, though? I think he is.
I think he is. Even if we like left the come, he'd be here. He's one of those guys. I've given him a life. Like, he's probably made a lot of money and all that, but he's like, he should be on the wall. He should be on the mural. He really should.
Yeah. Where's he based out of?
Cincinnati.
I mean, yeah, if Barstool, Ohio becomes a thing, like,
he's a part of Barstool. Yeah. He's Barstool history, Barstool lore. And I don't deal with him nearly as much as I used to, but I mean, to his credit, just blows it off. Like, he gets the worst of me because I'm only calling when, like, things are really – like, that Christmas. So it's like, dude, we're telling people – and we've gotten way better at it. But it's like we're selling this Black Friday. Like, they get their stuff for Christmas, and we just missed it. Like, we can't – like, how do we – we just missed it.
I don't know what Ohio's restrictions are for gambling, but when they go live, there has to be an electric chair in the warehouse with him there.
For something. I mean, he's an Atlantic City gift shop salesman who landed at Barstool Sports.
And that's the best part of this company. That's incredible. How was Thanksgiving? Did you end up seeing Cousin Mike?
No, I stayed in New York. I didn't do much. It sounds lonely, but I mean, I actually didn't hate it. I just ordered food and watched TV. I was exhausted for whatever reason all week. But no, I didn't see them. I stayed away. I posted that people are confused. I posted my dad carving the turkey, but it was from the year before.
Yeah. And then what about the Big Gobble? Was Big Gobble a success?
Huge success. Obviously got a little convoluted because the game got switched, but yeah, people like those promos.
And I saw there was that meme that went around, whose table would you sit at? And you said, no offense to Za, but you would not sit at your table. In your table, it was you, Za, Liz, Smitty, Lil Sass, and Greeny. No interest there?
I had the worst table by far. I love Za. I could talk to Za. Smitty. What was Smitty doing for, like, Cyber Monday? Smitty just got a new contract. I'm not going to.
Do it.
So he got a new contract, and these noises, this is like literally Jordan flu game with what's going on here. And he calls me like, I need a new contract. He's like talking to agents. He's like, I'm not going to say the figure, but he's like, I'm talking to agents. And they say it's like criminally offensive. I'm not making this much money. I go, Smitty, go get that money, boy. Like, if you can go get that money, I will be a cheerleader for you. Like, if someone's going to pay you that much, Smitty, you're an absolute moron not to take it. Go get that money. Do whatever you can get the money. He's like, well, maybe, like. So, but he got a new contract, not nearly like what that is. And Smitty's, you know, he's my romper room guy, and he's listing all the things he does. And he doesn't show up on Cyber Monday. But I expect that from Smitty. Like, let me put it this way. If his contract wasn't done, Smitty, you know who's showing up at the Philly gambling house a lot when he was, like, talking about needing a new contract? Smitty. You know who hasn't showed up at all after he got the new contract? Smitty.
So you don't want to sit next to him at the table. Fair enough.
You'd probably freak out. I mean, I laugh at the, you know, the paintball. And Smitty and I, we're acquaintances.
Monday's rundown, you were getting a lot of shit from KFC and Dan about going couch shopping. It was all over Instagram. So who's the bachelorette girl? What's her name?
Yeah, she was on The Bachelor. She was on The Bachelor. Yeah, Victoria was her name. She's gorgeous. Stunning girl. Stunning. So I like, to me, it's like, that's, I don't mind that type of like, oh, Dave's going shopping. First of all, I got my, a couple things. I went to a place that's like literally a stone's throw from my house, my apartment. They have a beautiful restaurant, literally like one of the nicest restaurants. Went there and I need a couch. So I got a couch. And she's like, oh, I'll put on the Insta. I don't care, Eddie, if a like gorgeous girl's like, I'm going to show them hanging out with you. That I said it on the rundown. It's Costanza when it's like you get Seinfeld, you get into a club. It's like, whoa, Dave's hanging out with like that pretty a girl. Yeah, that's a rumor I'm fine with.
Yeah, but on the couch room floor, I don't know. I kind of do agree with KFC and Dan that you in some aspects, you didn't want that.
No, I.
Patriots Sunday.
Yeah, but the Patriots, listen, if the Patriots had won the week before, probably not. I'm watching. I saw the end of the game. But it's like I have the 7-win bet, but are the Patriots going to win the Super Bowl? I don't think they are. I think they are what they are, which is 8-8, 9-7. I've had 6 years of greatness. We're in a pandemic. You know, I needed the couch. Again, I'm not out there trying to impress fucking KFC and Big Cat's got his kid and you know, you got – What are you married, girlfriend? What are you?
No, just a single guy.
All right, so let me say this, Eddie. If that girl was interested in you and was like, hey, you're going to have to go sit on a couple couches, you go sit your ass on a couple couches.
Sure, sure. I'm not denying that. But
And you want the world to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but if you,
don't,
I feel
you
like
don't want to hide it. I wasn't putting it. I didn't put it. I didn't retweet it. I didn't do anything on my end. But if she's like, hey, I'm like this – somebody open the door. I'm like this wildly attractive girl, and I'm hanging around with Dave Portnoy. Spread those rumors. Let it. I don't care.
But I'm just saying there is an element of listen, going out to brunch versus, hey, let's sit on this, you know, plush leather whatever. Let's see how this
correct.
Ottoman
is. But, right. And I don't care about
that's
that. All. But I'm saying the restaurant is like, people go regardless of the furniture. And you walk down, it's like, oh, that looks good. And it's across the street from where I live. Again, I had no problem with it. I think it's good publicity. When she's like, do you mind if I put you in my Instagram story? It's like, no. Like, no, I don't.
go right ahead. And then Kelly, there was a quick snipe back and forth. To be fair, I didn't know what she was talking about either.
It caught. So Kelly... basically, I did the JPP thing in Stephen Che's face. And the comment I see is like, oh, you're finally being funny again from Kelly Keegs. And I was taken aback. I was like, because I haven't communicated with Kelly Keegs very much. I'm like, what the fuck, Kelly Keegs? And I felt my face getting flush. And then I looked at the comments and nobody knew. People were like, the gif of me just looking around like, what was that? People were like, holy shit, Kelly Keegs. So I fired her in my brain. I was just waiting to do it. And then someone's like, oh, that's a callback because Victoria earlier was like, be funny. And then I'm like, oh, I get it. I overreacted. And I owned up to it. I put my hand up. I said, mistake. I overreacted. I love Kelly Keegs, rising star. I fucked that one up.
I was right there with you. I was like, whoa, what a bold tweet
yeah.
by her.
And it was like, we don't have that relationship. So I was like, she's never joked with me. I'm like, she's fucking out of here. She's, do you think that's funny, Kelly? Hit the road, Jack.
No, I get what you're saying. I just think the couch situation just makes it a lot funnier. Go watch Monday's Rundown. It was really funny what you, Kevin, and Dan were talking about. So
I again, and I get it. We're in this world. What made it even better, or not funnier, is then I got home and I'm like catching up on everything. And there... there's the image from the gambling cave, and Dan's losing, and they're all miserable, and Doug's is taking up 18 seats in the front row and eating pizza. And like, those are the two options. Is go, fine, sit on a couch with arguably one of the, like, prettiest girls you'll ever see, or be swallowed in a smelly pit with, like, 1,000 pounds of men. Sorry, I was with a stunning woman. Sorry.
But, Dave, that is your life. Your life should be that, sitting on couches with fucking smoke shows. But instead, you're promoting Black Friday when you don't have to, and you're fucking sitting on couches with guys like us.
I do it 99% of the time. Like, I was supposed to be in Philly. Philly's, like, shut down, so I had, like, a free weekend. And so, Yeah, I mean, this wasn't – I feel like a lot of people may be confused, like, oh, this is like the hammy because I went off the rails there for like a couple – it's not. I'm as plugged in, and I was on my phone checking scores every 2 seconds. Sorry, I had one Sunday off where I hung out again, not to keep beating a dead horse. But even people who don't like this girl, like, yeah, she's fucking stunning. So, sorry.
Their girlfriend?
Who?
She's is she girlfriend?
No, definitely not.
No. Davey Day Trader Global is under fire, it seems. Well, not really, but a couple sites. I don't even know what the names are. They were saying how your live streams could be influencing Penn stock and
I think the people who wrote it should be in prison. It's Robert Silverman. It's that fucking clown. Again, I guess you can write it. I'm a media personality. I'm in the news. I do DTTG. It opens myself up. But they wrote everything they said, they didn't say anything. And I tweeted out, well, if I commit murder and the cops hear about it, I'll be in trouble. DDGG, I do nothing. I'm not – the underlying theme, which clearly would be illegal, if I am trying to pump up Penn stock so they can, like, flip it and sell it, or if I knew something about it – I don't know anything about Penn more than what I say, which is I believe in Barstool and how we can get market share, and I would invest in it. I do invest in it. I've bought more on my own. And if you believe in us, I think it's a good investment. It could fucking tank. I don't have any special knowledge. I say that all the time. And I certainly am not trying to do anything with DDG where I pump a stock and sell it. I never do that. So it's just – all these hypotheticals, which I guess if they were true, would be illegal, but none of them are true. So what's the point of writing the article? And if you paid an ounce of attention to what I do, you'd know it's not true. That's probably why the SEC is like, oh, okay, he doesn't do anything that they're saying he does.
And obviously, Jay, like, there is some stuff they got to keep from you now. And
they've always kept that stuff. Always kept that stuff. Like, we did this huge fucking raise, right? We raised, like... We put more stock on sale. They raised $1 billion. The stock went down like 10% in like a day. I got fucking murdered. I got fucking murdered. I was busting. Like, it would have been nice. I can't know about that. I got fucking cleaned up. If you want to go look, if I know what's going on, go look at how much stock I had when that fucking happened because I got fucking killed.
The way they word it, though, they say Elon Musk got in trouble for doing something in the sense of stocks on Twitter, and then but because you have a lesser following than him, maybe they're not, you're not so much under the microscope. I don't know.
Elon Musk, you read it. I skimmed it once I saw who wrote it. Elon Musk at one point said Tesla stock is wildly overpriced. He tweeted that out. To me, that's a problem. Like, that could be a problem because the stock tanked in 1 second, and he's been in trouble for other stuff. I don't do that. I'm not saying this. I have no idea. I just say we're going to the moon and I believe in us. I don't, and I've never said anything negative. It's just like, yeah, we're trying to build it, try to build it. But I have no fucking clue. If the SEC was like, hey, we want to look at when you've owned stock and when you've sold it or anything like this, they'd see that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about with Penn at all. Nothing. And it's just factual. So I'm not, it's just, there's not an ounce of me is like, oh, the SEC is coming for me. It's just these fucking guys just try to stir it up. Robert Silverman, clown city.
And then this next topic I love. Lane Kiffin is running a campaign to get you to Mississippi, apparently.
Yeah, the Lane train's been a huge Barstool, huge Dave Portnoy guy for a while. Like, we had our old intern, Ella, who worked at Florida Atlantic with him, I believe. So he's DM'd me and been in my DMs for a long-ass time.
He's got Chad Kelly in this sweatshirt.
Yeah, Swag Kelly.
Marshall and I like Henderson. That now your lane is this, your team Portnoy guys in college basketball, college football. You have an awesome twosome with Lane Kiffin and Bob Huggins.
Yeah, Huggy Bear loves it. Huggy, I will give a speech at West Virginia. I have an open door policy to go give a speech. I'm 100% going to do it. And I'm just going to – I already know what the speech is going to be. It's going to be like – you may not be the greatest shooter. There's nothing you can do about that, but everybody can crash the glass. It's going to crash the glass, play defense, crash the glass.
Oh, he'll love it. I mean, you want to talk about two guys that have been through the fucking ringer. and don't care about whatever people say about interacting with Barstool. It's Bob Huggins and Lane Kiffin.
Bob Huggins, I love Huggins. And I'm the first time I met him, all those guys, I think, they never know. They meet so many people. But it's like instantly Huggy Bear. I've been like such a fan of his for so long, back to Cincinnati. And so you start talking, and it's like, man, I wish you had a shooter like Van Exel this year. And they light up like, okay, this guy knows his shit, and like I like his brand and what he stands for, and it's been a good relationship. Like I saw Huggy, like that time you had a heart attack and just got up and kept coaching, like that's my guy.
That's just, it's such a great combo for Barstool. It really is. So I love it. And then I saw a couple things broke today. Tweets were being deleted off the Viva La Stool account with Jack McCarthy. Are you aware of that?
Not aware.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get into and pick them. So go listen to that. I guess, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the B-mocracy and the bench mob feud, something to do with that. And
interesting.
Korean, so
interesting.
Listen to pick them, and I'm sure Dave will be filling in. And then BFFs, what's the update?
We had a good episode. And I think BFFs is going to be huge. I think it's going to be legitimately huge. Could be wrong.
There's no reason it shouldn't be.
But, like, I'm generally not wrong about these things. Like, it's brand new. And the amount of people in the street, and granted they're young, who come up to me now and, like, love BFFs, that only happens when you have hits. Happen with PMT, happen with Caller Daddy, and we're not close to there yet, but we haven't really started yet. We haven't found the flow. This last episode was the most positive episode that we had in terms of, like, being able to, like, repeat it.
And you also haven't been just, you know, throughout the streets yet because – of Corona and shit. So
right.
No, it could change. And then we got a couple ads and everything. We're going to bring Amir Garrett on and we're going to switch gears here for a second. But I do have to say Uber driver Debbie's pizza review. I know Muggsy's not a sponsor for this show, but I love that they fucking don't care. Uber driver Debbie,
yep.
Get out there, cut an ad. That much respect to that company for that.
Yeah. And people can buy her now for ads. So
that's awesome.
She's for sale.
That's great. I know they're Chicago guys, so that's very sweet. So yeah, let's cut these. Let's talk about Felix Gray, Dave, and then we'll get to Amir Garrett.
So I'm wearing Felix Gray right now, Eddie. And again, the best thing I can say is I'm not wearing it because I knew they were an advertiser. I wear these all the time. It helped greatly during my DDTG days. I couldn't sleep. And they're blue light glasses, so you can stare at screens. And I like the way they look. So most blue light glasses don't filter enough blue light and light spectrum. Felix Gray glasses filter 15 times more blue light from screens than other blue light lenses. What else do we have to say? I mean, I've said everything, but headaches, blurry vision, tired eyes, trouble sleeping. All this stuff I had, and these glasses got rid of it. So I wear all the time. I love how they look. If you don't love your glasses in the first 30 days, their in-house customer care team take care of exchanges, returns, shop. Nope, we're not going to say shop 15% through Black Friday and Cyber Monday because we're past that. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/Dave to shop better blue light glasses at their best price ever. That's felixgrayglasses.com/Dave. I don't know if it's 15% off because it says Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So
No. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/Dave. You get free shipping, free returns, free exchanges, like you said. felixgrayglasses.com/Dave. You definitely do have the old ad reads then. Also, one more thing, DHM Detox, no days wasted, Dave. I mean, this is the thing. You know, football Sundays, like I'm sure you were a little, you're not feeling great. Couch shopping, you took a little DHM Detox. You felt good.
I did say she tried to take me then. She's like, I got a couch, literally. And then she wanted to go to, what was it? There's another, it's not the story we're in, but a nice one, and there was a line, and I drew the line. I took the man. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm not going to wait in line for this. It's football time, so credit to me.
Yeah, there you go. So No Days Wasted is here to help you maximize life's moment. Their hero product is DHM Detox, the vitamin for people who like to enjoy their drinks. Tens of thousands of people are using DHM Detox as their drinking buddy. Enjoy the drinks and forget the Sunday scaries, or in this case, the Monday scaries, and the feeling like hot garbage. Just take two capsules after your first couple drinks, and it goes to work. They got great flavors. I like that lemonade flavor they got there. It's a hydration replenisher. So No Days Wasted. They also offer a risk-free purchase. So if you don't love it, they'll refund you on your first box. We've got you for 20% off your order and free shipping in the U.S. Just head over to nodayswasted.co and use the promo code Dave at checkout. That's nodayswasted.co. All right, let's get to Amir Garrett.
Man, there he is. What's up, my guys?
There he is.
What's up?
Yeah, see me good?
Yes.
So, all right. So now we're live on the PAC podcast. We're joined by Reds pitcher Amir Garrett. Amir, big time beef here. This is kind of is this our first meeting here, Dave? And
yeah, this is the first meeting. We traded a couple online barbs, but the first time we've spoken.
It's our first formal, introduction. Nice to meet you, Dave. Nice to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, so Eddie, you know how this started, right?
Yeah.
He gassed somebody through trickery interception by like pumping himself up and being, I'm a fucking badass or something. And he threw him a fucking breaking ball. So I was like, you can't, if you're going to fucking be like, I'm a badass, you got to fucking gas him. And here it is. Yeah, we're watching. It's a nasty pitch. And I get that's like your pitch. But come on, if you're going to be like talking that much junk, you got to tell your catcher, number one, it's coming, and fucking throw it by him.
Listen. I'm great at what I'm good at. That slider is arguably one of the best in the big leagues. My fastball is just, I can get up to 99, but it's just not, it don't have that zip on it like everybody's. So with me being, the magician that I am, I got to throw this slider. I have to, you know what I mean? And I am one of the baddest motherfuckers in MLB. Everybody knows that, But the fastball is just it's not my bread and butter, In this game, I gotta get some outs, man. I have to, and that slider is what I've been living off of. You gotta live and die by it. Your best pitch at all times.
So then I guess, I get that part of it, but it would be, and I know what your answer is gonna be. He's like one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but I'm not walking around being like, that Greg Maddux is a bad motherfucker. It's like he'll paint job me. And he'll, get me off balance. But he's not Ricky Vaughn. He's not Nolan Ryan. He's not Randy Johnson. And though, I almost feel like you knew you were tricking that guy when you're, puffing yourself up and then you fucking slide piece him.
I mean, yeah, that's what this game is. You got to have some trickery. By me saying that, he probably thought a fastball was coming. But, I just, the little slide master that I am, I had to throw the slider in there. And, you look at the numbers with me and Avisel. He's a great hitter. And I faced him four times this year, and I struck him out three of the four times. You know what I mean? He probably was waiting for me to do something like that. But, I had to throw the slider, man. He wasn't able to hit it. So I have to keep throwing what I'm good at.
Now, you saw – so we got bought by a gambling company, right? And so we have people can actually bet just now in Pennsylvania. But I actually created a prop bet just for you. And the prop bet was next time you'd come into the game, you'd give up a run. And I think it was plus money. Lo and behold, with all the pressure you came in, bam, like clockwork. It was like a cartoon. They're rounding the bases all over. Did you know this happened?
No, I don't pay attention to any of that. I don't get into any of that, but
I'm calling bullshit. I'm calling bullshit because I was tagging you. I was tagging you. I was sending it to you. We had everyone. You found out about when I talked shit the first time. By the way, did you know? I'm always curious that too. You replied, did you know right away? Okay, who I was? Or you're like, who the fuck's this guy? How does that go down? Because then you got playful after the first couple back and forth.
I mean, when you wrote me at first, I came in what the fuck is what's going on right now? And then a couple of my friends, teammates, were like, "Hey, Dave Portnoy came at you," and I'm like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And I didn't know who you were. I know Barstool and everything, but my friend was like, "He's the one bite everybody knows the rules guy," and I'm like, "Oh shit, that's pretty cool." That's pretty sick. I watched a couple of your videos. I watched a lot of them. I'm like, "Damn, why is he coming at me? Why is he talking shit to me?" But it's all fun and games. I know what you're doing. A couple of my teammates are like, "Bro, he destroys people on social media. This is what he does." And I'm like, "Shit, well, I love the little confrontation. I love the little challenge. So fuck it, let's do it."
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I still stand by. I forget
what you think of Dave's swing.
I have a great swing. That's just a fact.
So yeah. I mean, Dave, I seen your swing. You hit the ball like 210. You know, barely out. You put everything you had into that swing the other day when you posted on Twitter. I mean, come on now. You got to put some shit deep. If you got to put some shit far.
I don't decide where they put the fences. I mean, the thing cleared the fence by like, you know, 200 feet. So, and to be honest, the only thing that has kept me, honestly, from being like some sort of challenge is I don't like your – I'm a lefty, and I don't like your windup for like a lefty-on-lefty matchup. If you were a righty, I would have already been at a park right now being like, all right, let's see how good your fastball is, or even this like wipe away. And by the way, have you ever talked to Karabas? Jared was such a little pussy with him. He's like, oh, he's going to talk shit. Have you talked to Jared, our baseball guy? He like – I mean, he rolled over for you. He's like, hey, Amir, pet my belly. I've never seen him roll over like that.
I mean, because he knows that I'm a bad motherfucker. I'm trying to tell you, you know, there's nothing, there's no games about me. But Jared's a good dude, man. But I mean, it is what it is.
I also, without knowing you were going to be on this show, I was talking about you yesterday because when we first got into it, it didn't register that you played basketball at St. John's. So I was watching him yesterday, and then I remembered, so I was watching you when you were there too. How close were you to taking basketball, like going basketball as opposed to baseball? Were you?
I mean, you know, like my story was a little different. You know, I think I would pursue basketball if I didn't, you know, get a little nice signing bonus out of high school. I just didn't really have that drive anymore. You know, I got to New York, and I was like, all right, cool, like, you know, I got a little bit of money, living in a nice little penthouse when I went to college. You know, I didn't have to grind as hard. So, you know, if I didn't get baseball, I would have pursued basketball for sure, because the hunger would have been that much more. The fire in me would have been that much more. But, you know, everything worked out. I'm a bad motherfucker in
yeah,
the big leagues.
That's
know,
the so other – I haven't decided. I'm going back and forth in my head whether a bad motherfucker can wear a Balenciaga hat. I haven't quite – decided whether like high-end designers is kind of like a little bit soft. I may wear it, but it's like walking around bad motherfucker throwing sliders wearing Balencia hats. I'm not 100% sure those two things go together. Undecided.
I mean, you know, I'm in the fashion, man. You know, it is what it is. This is the trick, people, man. They're like, man, this guy, and I drink Starbucks, they're like, man, this guy's soft, and they got to try me, you know. And then they're like, damn, I'm not gonna mess with that guy anymore.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
Yeah, so that may have something to do with why people aren't going to fuck with you, because you're like, if I see a 6'6", 250 guy wearing a Starbucks, I'm probably going to be like, oh, let that slide if I have any thoughts on that. So it may be more the fucking sheer size, but yeah, maybe, I don't know, 6'6", 250, and you throw in, you can't break 100, can't break a pane of glass.
I can't break 100. Who said that now?
You said that.
I can get up tonight. I can get to 100 easy. I can't. Only when I want to, though, you know. But I just got to get that little zip on the fastball a little bit more, and then it'll be a little bit more deadly.
All right, Eddie, any questions for him?
Yeah, are you a better motherfucker than Trevor Bauer? Or how do you guys get along?
Listen, Trevor's my teammate, but there's no tough people like me. And that's, you know, you can ask a bunch of guys. There's you know – that's just not even the same category. You
what
know,
does that mean?
Trevor's a great pitcher. He's a great pitcher. He's a great pitcher. And, you know, what he does on the field and stuff is like that. But, you know, me off the field and on the field, nobody's going to try me at all.
Because
you know,
like that
physically or anything. They might try him. They're never going to try me.
Because of the Pittsburgh Pirates thing? That's what it was. He's sending me the Pittsburgh Pirate. When you get a shirt, you're going against like 30 guys at once. All right. So yeah. Take you out of the equation. Who would you say Major League Baseball – like the last guy you'd want to fight? Don't answer you, but who's the guy like, uh-oh, that's somebody you don't want to mess with?
I mean, shit, Chapman. Chapman is probably – it's somebody that you don't want to mess with. See how big that dude is? He makes me look small. He does.
What about Pujols?
Probably. You know, Pujols is a little bit older. He probably got some stuff up his sleeve, but, yeah, probably Pujols too a little bit, but – you know, outside of those guys, I mean, none of this, nobody wants no smoke.
How about Rizzo? He toss you around a little bit, right?
that is hilarious, man. I didn't come on here to, you know, call people out, but Rizzo definitely does not want no smoke with me. I can promise you that. No smoke.
I actually did a piece
of review. Great hitter, great player.
I did a piece of review with him, and I was actually shocked that he wasn't bigger. He was like skinnier than I was giving. Granted, it was like Corona times, but I thought he was going to be bigger than he was when I met him.
Yeah, so. He looks big on TV, doesn't he? Like he looks pretty big, but I mean, you know, he's a pretty thick guy, but you know, I mean,
yeah, no,
our guy. I guess my last question would be, do you know who Delino DeShields is?
Yeah, of course. What, Bob, Big Bop or Little Bop? Which one you
big,
want?
Big, big.
His dad?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have fast.
My third base coach.
Here's an absolute fact. So back in the day when I was just fucking hitting seeds all over the place, we had our batting practice pitcher who played with Delino DeShields Senior, and he's trying to pep it up. He's trying to gas me, and I'm just like ripping everything. He looks. He goes, "You have faster hands than Delino DeShields." It's a fact.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that, man. I don't know. I gotta see that because I know Bob got. Bob got some, you know, his hands are pretty quick, and you know he played basketball as well. So
yeah, I did know that.
He's an athlete. I don't know if you have faster hands than him. I gotta see it. I have to see it. I can't hear it. I have to see it.
Wait, he's your third base coach right now?
Yeah,
we gotta.
I mean, first base coach. Sorry, first base coach.
I mean, Dave, something's got to happen now.
Well, he's probably older than I am at this point. Well, he definitely is.
He's in great shape. Great shape.
I am not. So that's one problem.
No, I know.
Well, it's not awful shape. It's not.
I mean, shit. And I seen you, Dave. Like, man, come on. You got to get in the gym, you know, before you talking shit to people. And where you from? You from Philly or what?
I'm from Boston. Talk shit. How about throwing a fastball when you say you're the baddest motherfucker? Next time you do that, I want to see a fastball. And then I'll give you all the credit in the world. I don't even know where I saw it. People are talking about it. You got to throw the fastball. You got to.
I mean, okay, so you'll stop the beef with me if I throw a fastball to somebody. Does it have to be, you know, a credible hitter?
No, you can
whoever?
Throw it to whoever you want. Just when you come to your set, I'm a bad motherfucker and throw the fastball. And if the guy turns it around 450, then you got to wear it. But if he swings and misses, then I'll be like, all right, there's a bad motherfucker.
All right, deal. That's a deal, man. I need to do that because I got to redeem myself, man. I can't be throwing damn fucking sliders, striking people out. I got to throw the fastball by somebody. So that's noted. That's noted.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. You guys too. See you.
That was funny.
That was good. All right. So that was Amir Garris. Pretty good.
Yeah, Amir. People don't fuck with you. Because you're a bad motherfucker they mess with you. And that he's like, I have my Starbucks, my Balenciaga hat, and they mess with me and they realize I'm a bad motherfucker. They don't get to the mess part when you're 6'6", 250. The mess part never shows up.
Good for him. Delino DeShields, him, that's too much of the stars aligned too perfectly there.
But what would we say? He'd just be like, so what?
But I just need like a hand check. I just need your hands next to his, Dave. That's all we need.
Yeah, you know, I retired because I Dallas Braden, we did that pitching challenge, and he struck me out throwing like 78-mile-per-hour juice balls. But maybe if I hadn't picked up a bat in years, maybe if I got in the cage and tried to get back in shape. But you get to an age like me, and it just can be gone. It doesn't matter how much you do it. It can just be gone. But hand to God, when I play baseball, it didn't matter how fast you threw it. I could turn it around. Now, would I go in slumps and whatnot and off speed? Yeah, but like fastball, forget about it. It you know, I was a wrecking ball hitter. Couldn't throw. Hitting was no problem.
Delino DeShields, man, he's one of the most notable Barstool athletes that has never done anything with Barstool.
True. True. Darnell.
Easily.
Darnell, that's who said it. Darnell.
Him and RIP Steve Mahalik. We'll do a couple listener emails, and then we'll get out of here because we're running long. Dave Portnoy Show at BarstoolSports.com. Make sure you go send us an email if you want to be on the show. This one's from George. Dave, what's your thoughts on Bob Menery launching a podcast with Griffin Johnson?
He launched it a while ago. So, you know.
Was it before BFFs or no?
Right about the same time. I have no problem. All the Sway House is doing stuff. It doesn't surprise me.
You got problems with Bob still or no?
We just haven't talked about each other in a long time. I don't know how he feels about me, but it's cooled, I'd say.
This one's from John. Have you thought about bringing Rough and Rowdy to Delco?
We can't get to Pennsylvania. So rough and rowdy is based on states that allow it legally. And if we could get to Pennsylvania, we certainly would.
This one's from Zach. Will you ever bring the goalie challenge back?
Yeah, I'm sure. But even that, I'm getting old. I'm getting long in the tooth. There's not much to gain for me.
This one's from Cameron. Can we get an update on how many horses you currently own?
I don't know. I don't know. Because a guy manages like the barn sort of, and he's more active. So I'm not always 100% sure. There's only really one that I'm like very aware of named Cross Border. The rest haven't really done much yet. So I don't know.
So last one from CT here. How has the Jim Florentine hire been so far in your eyes? Are you coming around to more stand-ups joining Barstool?
Neutral. It's weird because quarantine, obviously, so haven't seen him around that much. I think he's very funny. I've always loved that metal show. And it's a case-by-case basis. You know, if someone's funny and it can translate to our world, we're open to it. But I wouldn't say, like, oh, we're focused on stand-up now.
Person said Chris DiStefano, there was a possibility there. Do you remember that? Was that something you were involved in?
I don't think so. Maybe. I'm not. If not recently, if that was the case.
Okay. All right. That's all listener emails today, Dave. That's all I got.
All right. Good show, Eddie.
Good show. Yep. Dave, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next week.